I'd ask you to please turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, that is page 1189. This short verse, full of wonderful truth. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Infinite riches in Christ Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, this statement by the Apostle Paul is set in the context of academics who were boasting about their unique elite knowledge. And these so-called Gnostics taught that as a select few, they enjoyed secret, mystical, transcendent knowledge. This sect claimed mystical knowledge. They claimed their mystical knowledge to be authoritative. They claimed they had secret wisdom that came from the angelic realm. So around them, they created an aura of mystique and fascination. And it made them feel proud and superior. And in gatherings, they claimed their supernatural, transcendental experiences. They claimed that it set them apart as being special. And their meetings centered around the worship of angels, who they claimed gave them this unique wisdom. And in the early New Testament church, they attempted to intermingle their philosophy with the simple Christian faith, so as to make the Christian walk in a mystical experience rather than a growth in grace experience. Well, this was totally opposed to the teaching of the apostles, and Paul here points to the infinite wisdom and the knowledge coming from Christ. And the fruit of this, coming from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is available to all, rich and poor, intellectual and non-intellectual. In every nation, tribe and kingdom, all who truly trust in Jesus Christ know the fruits coming from him for themselves. And so our text before us this evening directs us away from angelic worship and to the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this incredible statement deserves our close attention this evening, because it encourages us to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to him, to have the greatest esteem for him, the greatest respect for him, the greatest confidence in him, the greatest assurance in him. Well, let's look at some of the reasons then this evening, why it is that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Well, the first reason being that Christ is the revelation of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that's another amazing statement we read of in verse 9. For in him, that is in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, to know God, we must know the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the revelation to this world of the wisdom and knowledge of God the Father. He is the evidence of the perfect union between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And we can only come to God the Father and know God the Father through the Son. This is God's way. And as we look to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can see in him all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In this God-man, Jesus Christ, he is most certainly God. And he, while here upon earth, revealed to this world and testimony to us in the Word of God, some of the wonderful and beautiful attributes of God the Father, in his own testimony and witness. He came from the Father, he returned to the Father in heaven, and he obeyed his Father, He did the will of his father, and one of his great objectives was to direct men and women, boys and girls, to the Father through himself. And so the first reason, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, he is most assuredly God. And he is the greatest evidence to us that we will ever have of the wonder and the beauty and the love of God, a Heavenly Father. And he is the revelation to us of God, our Heavenly Father. We come to the Father through the Son. We know God the Father through the Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through him. And in the chapter 1, we read Paul saying about the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So here we have the first reason. Christ is the revelation of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the second reason this incredible statement deserves your and my close attention this evening is to encourage a trust in Christ. Encourage a trust in Christ. And two particular treasures are mentioned here for faith which relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge. Now, there is no limit to the knowledgeable understanding of Jesus Christ. The knowledgeable understanding of Jesus Christ. Some years ago, I visited another nation on a number of occasions and got to know much about their life there as I was involved in business and ministry there. And the parents told me something about the schooling in that nation. And in the school, the education given was based specifically upon memory. So exams or tests required that a child remember quotes from a textbook by rote. It was not so much whether you understood the question, it's not so much whether you understood the book, it's whether you remembered the book. It was not so much what the book was saying, it was what was written in the book. You just simply had to memorize. And so I remember one young man, he had this great big tome, about 500 pages, and he was reading and reading and trying to memorize it page by page so he could be ready for his exam. It was not so much a question of understanding the reason or the meaning, but simply remembering the words. And we can be like that with the Bible. We can say, I can quote Psalm 23. I can quote the Lord's Prayer. I can quote this verse and that verse. And I can memorize this verse and that verse. And you may be very well equipped to do so. But you might have a very good mind to do so. But the question is, not only is it good to memorize the verse, but also it's very important that we have some understanding of what that verse really means. What is that verse saying? What does it mean for you? Well, when we think about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he not only knows all things, but he understands the reason for all things. Whereas our knowledge and understanding is limited, his knowledge is infinite, it's unbounded. And in harmony with his infinite knowledge, knowing all things, is his infinite wisdom. Now, in this context, wisdom is the perfect ability of the Lord Jesus Christ to apply his knowledge. to apply his knowledge. He has a limitless capacity, a perfect capacity to apply his infinite knowledge in a perfectly wise way forever. So everything that the Lord Jesus Christ knows, and he knows everything, he also has the wisdom to apply that knowledge, what to do with all that knowledge, in a perfectly wise way. So his wisdom and his knowledge are in perfect harmony, and they complement each other. And this is a wonderful and gracious characteristic of Christ to encourage you for your assurance and encouragement. One of my sons had a physics teacher. I think it was either a physics teacher or a math teacher. I think it was a math teacher, actually. And he was a Cambridge scholar, an incredibly brilliant man. And he knew about all the maths and the equations, but he struggled to apply that knowledge and to teach it to the children. And he got so frustrated with the class. Why don't you see it? It's so simple. I can see it, but why don't you see it? And he wasn't able to, as it were, bring the children to see it for themselves. He knew it. He had an understanding of it. But he didn't have that wisdom to actually apply that knowledge to help the children also know it for themselves. This is not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge together. You see, we may meet people who are like a walking encyclopedia of knowledge. You might see a program where there's the mastermind or something like that, or whatever it might be, and someone has this incredible knowledge of so many things, so many subjects, can answer all these sorts of questions. But then that same person might lack wisdom to apply that knowledge. It might just be in the head. We hear the saying, he or she is like an absent-minded professor. They have a brilliant mind, but without common sense. And you see, all that knowledge is incredible. They're incredibly bright people, but actually, they don't have the wisdom to go with it. It's not just about knowledge. It's about wisdom to apply that knowledge. What are we going to do with that knowledge? But in Christ, we have a person in whom there is infinite knowledge and infinite wisdom together. They are in perfect partnership. The knowledge that Christ has, he applies it wisely to every situation, and he knows exactly how to rule this world with his knowledge in wisdom. Here is our starting point. Christ, the Son of God, made man, in whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, glorious in wisdom and knowledge. Now, when we speak about the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must never limit it to human wisdom and knowledge. Human wisdom is limited, it's fallible, it's open to error. But God's wisdom is infinite, infallible, without error. Now, when Christ was here upon earth as a man, he limited himself as a perfect man. He took upon himself a human body, a human mind. But nevertheless, he never, ever stopped being God. He always was the God-man. Well, so in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his wisdom and knowledge is infinite and it's perfect. But because we see in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only as God, we also see him as man, and he had a body just like ours, his wisdom and knowledge is shown to us so graciously in a way that we can relate to. He understands about us. He's lived upon this earth. He's taken upon himself a body. And he was willing to limit himself as a perfect man and take upon himself a body and learn obedience, even unto death. But all the while, he never stopped being God. Well, we then need the greatest respect for the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has it in an infinite way, wisdom and knowledge, but he humbled himself to take upon himself a body, and he also had wisdom and knowledge in a perfect way as a man. And so here is a man we can really relate to. He's not only infinite in wisdom and knowledge, but he's also experienced the limitations of a body and taken upon himself human flesh. Now, there are two examples of I want to share with you, inasmuch as we have the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge, then, first of all, in his love. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge found in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have God's greatest message to the world, that he really cares about our situation. In Christ, God has shown this world the depth and the reality of his love. He has sent to this world one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The love of Christ is a knowledgeable love. By that I mean Christ knows all about us. It's not a blind love. It's not a general love. It's not just a statement of love. It's a love which knows every condition and detail of your lost condition by nature. The Lord Jesus Christ knows everything about you. Absolutely everything about you. He knows the day you were born. He knows the day you will die. He knows every single thing about you. And he loves you. Now that is knowledgeable love. We don't know everything about each other, do we? None of us know everything about each other. I wonder how it would be if we knew everything about each other, would we still love each other? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ knows everything about you. Absolutely everything. It's a knowledgeable love. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is not a blind love. This is not a love which papers over the cracks. It's a love which knows every detail of your lost condition by nature. Christ knows that by nature we hate him. By nature we rebel against him. By nature we will not have this man to reign over us. Christ knows by nature we love the darkness rather than the light. Christ knows that about our true condition before God, that all our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. He knows we are proud. He knows we're independent from God. He knows we want to go our own way in our lost condition. He knows all about us, even as Christian believers. He knows when we're proud and when we're willful and when we're really doing things for our own pride and our own glory, our own self-esteem, and for men to think well of us and to think highly of us. He knows all about these sorts of situations, and yet he loves us. He loves us. He knows, as the Bible says, that we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. He knows our whole being is affected by sin. And his complete knowledge of all things did not deter him from coming to this earth, but it motivated him in love to come as a savior. It led him to apply his wisdom to his knowledge. He saw from heaven, from eternity, with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He knew all things about all people. He knew all things about all those that have been ordained unto eternal life. Every single thing about them. And he still came to this earth. Now that is love. A love that knows and a love that cares. Just before Christ entered into his final days here upon earth, we read that he knew his hour had come. He knew that meant the cross at Calvary. He knew what lay ahead of him. And yet in that knowledge, he set his face steadfastly in love to go forward in the wisdom and in the plan of God the Father. It was not easy for him to do that. When he got to Gethsemane, we read that he said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." This was not a mindless, soulless experience. He was not like a robot, like a machine. He felt it in his inner being, in his soul, in Gethsemane. His knowledge of this forthcoming suffering, his knowledge of what Calvary meant. And yet, he obeyed his Father. The wisdom of salvation, the only way whereby we could be saved. He applied his knowledge to the situation, his wisdom from all eternity. This is the only way whereby needy sinners like me and like you can be saved. Is by the Lord Jesus Christ going to Calvary and dying and suffering and dying on our behalf. And so our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross had to endure the wrath of God. He had to bear the eternal punishment due for the sins of all who trust in him, and he did so out of love. Christ knew this was the only way whereby God's justice could be satisfied and atonement made. This was the only way whereby man could be reconciled with God, peace made between God and man. The wisdom and knowledge of Christ is the real mystery. This is what angels desire to look into. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, this great mystery, this great transaction between God the Father and God the Son, whereby we read it pleased the Father to bruise him. It pleased the Father actually to lay upon his only beloved Son the eternal punishment due for the sins of all those who put their trust in him, all those ordained unto eternal life. This mystery. And at the heart of this mystery are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here at Calvary, we view a perfect man, the Son of God, who cares for our whole being, who knows all about us for time and eternity. Here at Calvary is the most profound and perfect example of applying wisdom to knowledge in love. Here are lost sinners. They're helpless. How can we save them? We apply wisdom to our knowledge. And the way of wisdom is only God can save needy sinners. So he knew about the problem. He understood why we had a problem. And then he applied his wisdom to solve the problem. So we read that just before he died, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. He said, "I have a fervent desire." He gave thanks knowing that that same cup symbolized his suffering and death. He gave thanks knowing what would be accomplished through that suffering and death. God demonstrates, he commends his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in his love, but then the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in his caring sympathy. Christ is now in heaven as the sinless high priest who knows and understands all about your life here upon earth. The Bible says we do not have an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. So in heaven, interceding for all who trust in Christ, we have a high priest who sympathizes with us, who understands about us, who knows about us, who knows exactly how to deal with us. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but it was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find mercy, obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, this wonderful promise, it is centered in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, the one in whom we can have complete confidence this evening, who will never turn away us away, as you are a person too difficult to handle. Your situation this evening is too complicated. It's beyond my understanding. It's beyond my knowledge. I'm out of my depths. We are often out of our depth. But the Lord Jesus Christ is never out of his depth. He is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He knows our past. He knows our present. He knows our future. He knows what we are thinking just right now. And he ever lives to intercede for those that put their trust in him. Let us look to him. Let us trust in him. Let us believe in him. Let us understand by faith this evening. He is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You remember the account of the lady who was taken in adultery and how she was dragged to the Lord Jesus Christ by the religious leaders. They had no compassion toward her and compulsion about exposing her to the crowd and in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came to him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act," and they throw her at his feet. They set her in the midst of the crowd. Now the Lord Jesus Christ knew all about that woman. Every single thing about that woman. He knew about her past, he knew about her present, and he knew about her future. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? How did he apply his knowledge of her complete life, not just her act of adultery? How did he apply his knowledge with wisdom? He said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. He said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The treasures of wisdom and knowledge in his love, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in his caring sympathy, and the treasures of wisdom and knowledge even in his leadership. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Well, the God, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the Eternal One, the Creator of the universe, the God of heaven and earth, in the person of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, condescends to be the shepherd of his people, the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And when we come to trust in him, and we repent of our sin, and we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it means we have a shepherd, the wisest shepherd, to guide us and to lead us. Lead us to heaven. So do not focus upon yourself this evening, but focus on the glorious and worthy attributes of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy of your complete trust and your complete dependence. The Bible says he is the knowing shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I have a knowledge of them, and I know exactly how to guide them, and they follow me in the way of wisdom. Now we must ask ourselves a vital question in conclusion this evening. You may say, yes, I believe that Christ is indeed the great, the compassionate, and the chief shepherd, the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But are you willing to take a step further this evening by saying in your mind and heart, in your soul, the Lord is my shepherd? Are you following him by faith? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And to hear his voice means to respond wholeheartedly to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to put your trust in him and to follow him, to repent of your sin, and to turn to Christ as your Savior, following him, submitting to him as the Lord of your life, as your shepherd, the one in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge then in his love. This knowledgeable love, then applied with wisdom, how to deal with all this knowledge in love to come as a Savior. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge in his sympathy. We have a sympathizing high priest in heaven above who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Trust him. And then the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in his leadership. There's only one way the Lord Jesus Christ guides his people, and that is to heaven. There's no other place, no other destination whereupon the Lord Jesus Christ is guiding all those that trust in him. He guides every one of his sheep into his fold, into heaven, into glory. Let us put our trust in him. Let us look to him. Let us worship him and adore him. Amen.